At this time, we are privileged to have one of our own to come to us tonight. We thank God for an opportunity. Every once in a while, Pastor gives one of the elders or gate elders an opportunity to come and to share a message. I think it was a couple of weeks ago, we heard Chuck and Tony gave a very, very powerful testimony that really touched our hearts concerning some situations that happened in their life. And it was a real life situation. And it was really talking about the power of God and how God is able to help us to overcome in any situation. He always will bring us through because we are his people and he loves us. So tonight we are privileged to bring to you one of the gate elders, a very beautiful young man and very sincere about his soul. And he's going to come tonight and bless us with the word. So I'm going to ask that you would receive tonight Elder John Craker. Please receive him by standing. Please stand. Thank you very much.
Good evening. Good evening. Thank you. It is an absolute honor and a privilege to be here this evening with so many beautiful people that just love Jesus, and that is the most important thing, isn't it? When Pastor called me about a month ago and he asked me if I would be willing to give the message when he was out of town, it was with no hesitation that I said I would love to. And then right after I got the phone, I said, what did I just do? What did I do? And then, better yet, I let Lisa know that you're going to be speaking too. So at some point in this message, you'll see my lovely wife, who was just singing to you, also speak a little bit. But you know, the message wasn't hard to select what the message was going to be. I know a few weeks ago, my wife was here sharing a testimony about a young man that was on the brink of death that was brought back through the power of prayer. And during that whole time, I also shared with you a vision God had given me, a dream of this burning fire, this white hot fire. And it scared me at first, but then I realized that is our faith. That is the faithful that are burning on fire. And those fires are burning and the embers are flying. And as they fly, they land on fresh tinder and they start more fires. Well, I shared that message and a woman from the congregation, I don't believe she's here tonight, she came up to me and she says, I have to give you something. She said, look up Hebrews 1:6-7. And then it's also in Psalms, and it's his ministering servants, flames of fire. And she wrote on the very bottom of this little note, together, many flames of fire can be a consuming fire. People don't often notice a small flame, but they can't pass by a bonfire. Right. Ladies and gentlemen, and Matt, you can put the first slide up. Tonight, the theme of the message is faith on fire. And you see there Psalms 104:4, who makes his winds his messenger, flames of fire his ministers. And we are called to be those flames of fire. Now, before we even get started, we got to deal with a couple things, because I'm already going to make the assumption that everybody here is born again. If you are not, before the end of this evening, you should come forward so that we can pray for you, that you can receive Jesus as your personal Savior, so that you can begin to live in this new being that you are going to be. Okay? But then, men, this is special for you, because I'm one of you. We have to deal with pride, okay? Pride obviously becomes before the fall, and it's the biggest stumbling block, I believe, for men. Because we are co-creators, at least we believe we are, okay? And so one day, me and my wife, hey, do I got a sound machine somewhere? Do I got somebody that can give a little beat? Boom, ch-ch-boom, 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 ch-ch-boom. All right, come on. Boom, ch-ch-boom, 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 ch-ch-boom. Keep doing it. I need to hear it. I need to hear it. Let's give somebody a microphone. So my wife says, you got pride. And I said, you know what I got? I'll tell you what I got. And this is what I got. I got my degree and I'm living large, driving all around in my fancy cars. Yeah. Uh-oh. Gathering up wealth and luxuries. You should thank your lucky stars that you got me. All right? And then, man, I was strutting around like the number one cock in the hen house. I said, yes, I just put her in her place. I am the leader of this home, and I'll make all those spiritual decisions, and one of them won't be more church. All right. And then all of a sudden in the background, my wife stepped up, and you notice she's not shy. She said, like this, There's only one man that provides for me, and his name is Jesus, and he died on a tree. I'm like, uh-oh. She says, you better get a dose of reality and step away from all carnality. And I sat there and I said, man, I didn't just get disciplined. I got spiritually disciplined. I can't even, how do I argue back? But I'm a man and I'm proud, and I'm going to show him how. So I said, well, Lord, it went like this. I don't see his name on the checks I receive. And now you're telling me I got to be on my knees. Giving all praise to God above, because everything we have was due to his love. And my wife said, you finally got it. And guess what? She was right. So I just had to share that with you. You know, I did ask. Thank you. Yeah, you wonder what happened to Vanilla Ice. Here I am. And moving on, you know, I want to talk about a four-letter word. And this is a really, really horrible four-letter word to most Christians. Matt, you can pop up that next slide up there. And that four-letter word is lack. Lack. And the Bible tells us, the young lions lack food and they suffer hunger. But they who seek, and what's very important, inquire of and require the Lord by right of their need and on the authority of his word, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. Is that a powerful word or what? Now, you see what I got written down in the next line. We really need to renew our thinking when it comes to lack. You know, I never got this. When I look at lack, I think I'm without. I can't pay my bills. I'm not healthy. This and that, and the next thing comes along. Attacks come, and I don't have the ability to stand. But you know what lack is? It is an awesome opportunity. It's what it really is. You know, some of you know what I do, some of you don't, but I'm a businessman as well. We love lack. Want to know why we love lack? Because it's opportunity. If there's a need, I can fill it. And if I can charge for it, if I can make money on it, it's going to profit me. Lack is awesome. Lack is a great thing. Okay? Then he goes on. Blessed are the poor, afflicted, lowly, destitute of wealth, influence, position, and honor. For the kingdom of God is yours. God, what were you talking about there? How can that be? How can the poor and the afflicted be so wonderfully looked upon by God? And you want to know why? Because in their lack of resource, who do they rely upon? Who are they going to rely upon? Is it going to be somebody coming by and just giving them money? Is it going to give them health? No, they rely on the Lord. You know, when I was in Africa, I witnessed this. It was overwhelming to see people travel 30 miles to come to a pastoral conference for some young men from America that was going to speak the word to them. I'm going to tell you right now, and I've said this before, they know their word. They know how to stand on their faith. We could take a lesson or two from those people that would travel so far because they have lived with lack. And they have learned to trust on the Lord. The Lord isn't just a name and a fictitious being and somebody you cry out to when you're hurt or somebody hurts you or you found out that you're just diagnosed with cancer and I need to run to the altar. And these people live the Lord every single day. They bless him for the food that he provides them and the water that they drink. That's the reality of this. Okay? And I want to go on. We got to talk about our attitude. And young men and women that were in the youth group, there was a real purpose why I really wanted you in here tonight. Because myself and Lisa and many of the elders that are here and many of the parents that are here, it took us a long time to understand to go from A to Z and to know how important our relationship with God is. I would like to implore you. There's a stirring in my spirit. There's a stirring because time is short. You can say, maybe your parents can say, you can say to your parents, well, hey, you were able to make mistakes, and then you get to live your life and correct them. I understand that. We did make mistakes. Many of us made mistakes. I made horrible mistakes that cost me years of my life. Years. I don't want to see that happen to you because there's no time. There's no longer any time. There's a purpose for your name. There's power in the name. Your name of your youth group is remnant. For you are the remnant that this generation requires to be the light unto this world. Because there's only 3-5% of your peers that believe in Jesus Christ and are going to have a relationship with him. You've got a lot of work to do. We have no time. We need pastors and apostles and teachers and preachers and flock herders and shepherds and everything else. And you're it. And that's why we love you so much. You are a blessed seed. That's why you need to hear this message. So when we approach God, the first thing we have to do is check our attitude. What's our attitude if we lack in faith? Okay? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. When I finally came to realization of who I was in Christ and what my purpose was, it was very much like me with a business plan. I'm like, wait a minute, there's some verses in here I got to pay special attention to. You're going to give me all the desires and secret petitions of my heart, all of them. Well, I need to know how I'm going to happen, because you know what? That sounds to me like prosperity. That sounds like increase. I think that God wants to give me something. Okay? Well, that started the path. That's where we're going tonight. How do we get to have that full presence of God in our lives? That there is no longer any lacks. That you no longer lack in anything. Not just maybe one thing. Anything. All your petitions. Every heart desire shall be met. But there is a price to pay. A lot of people say, hey, I want to do what you do. I said, okay, I can help you with that. You just got to go to school for about 12 years. And when you're all done, you got to work your way up to the top. And as the way goes up, the attacks will come and follow you. You can bet on that. When you stand up for Jesus, when you stand out and set yourself apart and say, I want to be holy, you can bet the devil goes, there's a crosshair. We got to take that one out right now. He's got to go. Can't be having any of that, because he's going to rise up a revival around here. And that's what we need to do. But what I'm telling you, there's another price to pay. If you want God's blessings, you've already got the book in your hand. It's all there. Everything you must do. Is it easy? No. But are the rewards great? Yes. With great reward comes what? Great sacrifice. Whether it's in the natural or it's in the spiritual, they're parallel. You want to get to the top? You can keep playing the mega ball, or I don't know what it is these days. I don't play it. I don't need to, because God's going to give me all I need. I don't need that. But what I'm saying is you can try to bank on it that way, or you have to work. Either way, you have to work. So the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now, Jesus kind of rebuked them, didn't they? Because what do you mean, increase our faith? You are called to increase your faith. You are the one called to trust in the Lord. You. Okay? Is it always got to be the easy way out? God, just give it to me. Do we have couch potato faith? Are we going to sit there on our couch and listen to the wonderful preachers and teachers? And I'm not saying that's not important, because it is, because the more word you get in you, the more it's going to be in your spirit. But what are you doing about it? Okay? I'll give you an example. That wall right there, that needs to fall. Anybody disagree with that? That wall needs to fall. How's that wall going to fall? We're going to make that wall fall, because there's an action that goes along with the prayer that wall needs to fall. You can pick up a pen. You can write a check. There's a lot of things you can do. You can be here working. You can do all kinds of things. But that wall needs to fall. And what happens when you talk about the double portion of blessings and the blessings of overflow from God? Well, just get in his will. Get in line with what he wants done on this earth. And let me tell you something, you are going to very quickly see the rewards of your sacrifices. I am a true testament to that. I believe that with every part of my being. Okay? So, at least the apostles recognized their need, that they had a lack. And they said, please give me more faith. And they had to get away from spiritual laziness. Because they were following, they thought they had all the faith they needed. They thought they were in, man. I got it. It's good. It's all I need. They're sort of like me. You know, there was a time I told my wife, hey, I'm saved. That's good for me. It's all I need. But was that stupid? Wow, I was an idiot. I'll say that out loud. Not anymore. because we stagnated. When you say that, you stagnate. That's it. Okay, so they knew that. And then it says, you have to commune with God frequently. What does that mean, commune? That means to be in his presence in a private period of time. My wife is going to come up here in a little bit and talk to you about the spiritual things and the prayer. Why? She is so sensitive to the spirit. She outranks me. I'm sorry. I got to admit it. She has got me outranked right now, for now. But the reality is she's very sensitive to the spirit, and she spends dedicated time all the time with God. That's what we need to do. Every one of us, every parent, every youth, every single person, we need to commune with God. And it said, Jesus said that these are the attributes of those who will grow in faith. You want to grow in faith? You want to reap the rewards that Jesus has stored up for you? There it is. And then your actions. You can go to the next slide, Matt. Actions. You spoke so many idle words. Now you have to give an account of it. We can go on. You can say you spent so much idle time. What are you occupying yourself with? You see some things up there. I am not belittling any of this. A lot of it's very important. But how much time do you spend? Remember, the devil doesn't care what you do as long as you waste your time. As long as you waste your time, the devil is absolutely happy with you because you are not going to move forward. The same amount of time you might spend cruising the internet, watching TV sets, trying to buy dream homes, whatever it may be, you are not growing in faith. You are not communing with God. You've been sidetracked. We need to get back on track. Because, you know, there's a track race. It's called the relay race. Yeah, and you get the stride, and you got the runner coming in. He's got that perfect stride. And you got the runner going out in perfect stride, and in a perfect harmony, and the hand goes back. Boom! Phew. Baton's in their hand. What's the devil trying to do? He just wants that guy to... You probably saw it in the Olympics, didn't you? 2 years in a row. It was painful to watch. Our girls dropped the baton. Dropped it. And it rattled on the ground. They were by far the fastest team. The most prepared. Yet they dropped the baton and lost the race. There's a baton to be passed. We'll talk about that just a little bit later. And I do want to talk about attitude a little more. There's a test on people's attitudes. You probably may have seen this before. You got a pitcher of water and you got a cup. And we just pour some water in the cup. Hopefully I won't drop it. Okay. Is the cup half full or is it half empty? Half full, half empty. What this determines is, are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? It could be also your worldview. Are you a negative thinker or a positive thinker? More of that later. Okay, said that. So our actions are extremely important. Our attitudes are very important. Okay, more action. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, and then all these things taken together will be given to you. Do you need a better promise than that? We're already in the Abraham covenant. If you are born again, you're already in. You get everything Abraham had. Expansion of nations, everything, all the wealth, everything. You're the grafted olive branch. And nobody can take that away from you. It's a blood covenant. Only you can take it away from you. And then I got up here, this is the bottom thing, it's just kind of a little funny thing. This should be our Christian Facebook. You got a face, you got a book that's called the Bible, Facebook. Get your face in the book and know Jesus. All right? That's what that's representing up there. That should be our Facebook. At least most of the time. Spend a little time, you know, moderation, I get it. Got to balance life out a little bit, but the majority of it should be right there. There's your Facebook, kids. That's old school Facebook. Can you roll up to the next slide there, Matt, on faith, please? Faith, 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 faith. Oh, man, we need more faith. In this day and age, time is short. We have to have faith. Truly, I say to you, if you have faith, a firm, relying trust, and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will be done. That is a huge high level of faith right there. You have to be unwavering. There is no way that you don't believe every single word, every little letter in the Bible, and that you're loving on Jesus and communing with him on a regular basis. There is nothing that you can't do. Nothing. You can cast mountains aside. You can cast cancer out. Okay? You can cancel financial ruin right in the garbage can, because that isn't going to happen to you, because you have that faith. You have the power to remove the devil's advances and just step on him, because he is a liar and you need to prove it with your faith. He is a liar. Don't let him take anything from you. So then it says, even though, understand this, even when we are in the perfect will of God, tests and trials will come. They're going to come. Why? Your faith needs to be challenged. How are you going to perfect your faith? How's it going to get stronger? There's got to be some challenges. But there's a difference. You know, it's like the story when they were in the Sea of Galilee, okay? And they're cruising across. They said, we're going to go to the other side. And Jesus is sleeping in the boat. And the storm just breaks out. It's chaos everywhere. And the waves are tossing over the boat. And the apostle says, oh my God, oh my Lord, you must save us. We're surely going to perish. And what did God do? Jesus, he just rebuked the waves and there was a perfect calm. And he said, though you with such little faith. Well, that's in the will of God. I mean, they are in the boat with God. Now, what about those of us that are outside the will of God? And we come up with our own little methods to float. How you like that? Because huh? I'm prepared for when the boat sinks. God, I got it covered right here with my little duck. Oh, the problem is you're floating around with your little duck and thinking you're all safe without God because you're outside the will of God. The rocky shoals are approaching you. Pop goes the duck. Pop! And what will surely happen? You will sink and you will perish. We are outside the will of God. We don't have the ability of the grace of God that as the boat is sinking, he will just simply lift it up. When you are hurting or without, he will just lift you up. Because you have Jesus. You have faith that can move the mountains. Those are the will of God, and they got a duck. Sorry, duck. And then yet, lastly, because we don't have a lot of time, and actually when Pastor said this, I think I might need a few days. If, you know, you get all this stuff going on in your head. I'm sure pastors, you know that. There's so much to say and that you want to impart to everybody. But we got to get to maturity, right? We need to get to maturity. We cannot any longer be lax. You know, I forgot to bring my mirror over here because as I was reading off to you my rap song, you know, this mirror, mirrors are really important, aren't they? Certainly couldn't get ready, ladies, without one. Men, you don't do good at it regardless. But the bottom line is you see a reflection in the mirror. Yeah, looking good. A little more gray here. Otherwise, all right. This comes into play. This is showing you your reflection. It's what are you seeing? Are you seeing the carnal you? Are you seeing the flesh personification of who you are? Because as you grow in faith and you grow to maturity, when you look into this mirror, hi, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit Man. You ain't seeing this no more. This don't matter. You're seeing into the Spirit. You're seeing into the things that only God speaks. You know, Brother Scott, you know, we've been learning in the Bible school, and if those of you can't make it, you should make it. It's great. It's wonderful. It's a great opportunity. But, you know, we talked something about what's called the hypostatic union and how Jesus walked. He was the hypostatic union because he was so powerful because his flesh, his soul, was in complete obedience to his spirit, man. That's why he could do what he did. If we can relinquish control, take our body, take our soul, and turn it over, surrender it, bow down, humility to the spirit man, there ain't no stopping you. There is no stopping you. So maturity, you therefore must be perfect. Perfect, wow. Growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity as your heavenly Father is perfect. So when I made that statement that, hey, I'm saved, I'm good, wrong. Because the Bible tells me I have to mature. Why do I have to mature? Because there's all these little fires out there. There's all these little tinders, these little tinder boxes waiting for a spark to fall, waiting for one spark to ignite it so that we can have the bonfire that we require to change this planet, to change people's thinkings, to give all of us to Jesus so we can bring heaven onto earth. So we are called to be mature. And then you have to have some understanding about this, and then my wife's going to come up. We have the body. You can go to the next slide, Matt. We are triunal beings. We're body, soul, and spirit. Our body, we believe in the five senses: sadness, loneliness, fear, depression, physical manifestation, sickness, weight gain, loss, diminished senses. That's all part of the body. Determines what happens in the natural, that I can reach out and say, I love you, Ron. God cannot and will not commune with the body. Cannot. Then our soul. You know, you're seeking out your soulmate. Seek out your spirit mate. Made up of the mind, will, emotion, conscious, personality. It needs renewal. Contact the soul through words. Proof to the body that blessings exist through renewal. As long as the soul agrees with the body, we die. Carnal, it means you're dominated by the soul, and that also leads to death. If we're going to live in carnality, we're leading to death. And then we have our spirit being. This is the real you. This is your inward man, your hidden man. He delights in the law. Our spirit can only commune with the Holy Spirit. Only part I don't have to work on. Cannot participate in sin. Look at all these things. All spiritual blessings, and that means all spiritual. Prosperity, healings, your million-dollar business idea that's already been placed inside you. That's all part of all those blessings. Deposit in the spirit. To receive, you cannot be double-minded. You can't have your mind in the soul and your mind in the spirit. It won't work. If you're dominated by the spirit, you're going to have abundant life. The Bible promises that. And then we have our Holy Spirit. This is, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Everything he has is given. Oh, tricking me up. Is given to the spirit. Only speaks what he hears the Father say. His commission is to glorify Jesus by receiving truth and transferring these mysteries of Christ to our understanding through the language of tongues. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Holy Spirit hears the intercession Jesus is making and pours it through our spirit as we pray in tongues. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Acts 1:8. Now I'd like to just take a moment, and if you'd just welcome my wife. She's going to come forward, and she's going to talk a little bit about how to live in the Spirit.
Woo! I feel the fire! But I'm looking for people. I'm looking for people who are ready to put Satan where he belongs, under our feet. Are you ready to silence the enemy? I am talking about making demons tremble and flee because we possess the fire of the Holy Ghost. When you know who you are, the demons will pack their bags. And we have to become as bold as a lion, because let me tell you, the devil don't play. He is not only trying to hurt you, he is trying to kill you. Whew. But I've got good news for you. We don't have to remain in the dark anymore and without understanding. I just think that the church hasn't been taught how to operate in the kingdom of God, because 3/4 of the church don't operate. So I'm going to speak to you today what I feel is the most important message that a believer can hear in their Christian life. And that is how to tap in and release the grace that is within you and experience this abundant Zoe life through praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. You see, the devil don't want you to know the power of the Holy Spirit, because then you will find your feet in the kingdom. The devil can't stand the presence of the Holy Spirit. Woo! Because a people with the Holy Spirit torment the devil. They can't mess with you. And we can't afford to not allow the Holy Spirit to operate in our lives. So we need to get connected to God through the Holy Spirit. We need to get acquainted to the Holy Spirit. And your flesh ain't going to like it. But we need to know how to operate in these last days. People who pray prove that they fear God and know God and delight in God. Some time ago, I was in a church and we were worshiping, and I stood there, and everything within me, I was crying out to God. And I said, God, I need to know your truth. What is your truth? Show me your truth. And at that time, I was watching TBN, Trinity Broadcast. And as they were preaching, I thought, their faith is different. Wait, why isn't my church teaching that? Why isn't my church teaching this? And I went to the pastor at the time, and I said, why don't we believe in the gifts of the Spirit? And he says, they're not for today. And I said, why aren't they for today? And he said, Lisa, you have to understand. That's when the first church was established. And they needed those gifts because of the condition of the people. And I said, the condition of the people? Look at the condition of the people today. I said, aren't we blaspheming of the Holy Spirit here? And he says, what do you say is blaspheming? Just like that. And I said, well, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of the Holy Spirit. Because you see, you can't separate the Holy Spirit from tongues. The Holy Spirit is not tongues, but they go in hand in hand. And so it took me on my journey to search and seek. And I went home and I opened my Bible and I couldn't believe it. It was all there. It was popping off of the pages. And I'm going, oh my gosh, why can't they see this? It's all here. And God spoke to me and said, will you obey me? Because it will take faith to pray in tongues. Because people will think you're nuts. Because God says you can't please me without faith. And it's just like if God came to you, Clarence, and said, start licking the floor. What would you do? That's right, because you obey him. And then God came to you and said, start licking the floor. What would you do? You start licking the floor. And people would be like, what are they doing? These people are nuts. They're crazy. Oh my gosh, they're licking the floor. And that's how tongues is looked at. These people are nuts. They are babbling. They are wasting their time. Whew. And so, I started to seek, and I was praying in the Spirit. And I've prayed since I was a little girl and stuff, because I had an aunt who prayed, and I thought, she's Aunt Michelle. She knows things. And things started happening in my life, and I started experiencing different things and manifestations and healing. And I started looking at people and saying, what was it? What was it about Smith Wigglesworth? Why was he able to raise the dead? Why was he able to do such exploits for God? And what about Oral Roberts? He was able to tap in. And John G. Lakes, him too, and Jesus, and Peter. What was it about them? What was the common denominator? It was the Holy Spirit. And so what I found out was, praying in tongues is a weapon. And Satan has no defense for it. It puts him at a disadvantage while putting us at the advantage. It is a tool that enables us to learn from the Holy Spirit. And so as I started to seek, I came to 1 Corinthians 14:14. And it says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. And I thought, huh. So if I don't pray in a tongue, my spirit don't pray. And so then I looked at 1 Corinthians 14:2. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries. And I thought, mysteries? What kind of mysteries? Mysteries of how to run your business. Mysteries of how to raise your teenagers. Mysteries of healing and righteousness. It unlocks the mysteries. And God said, when you pray in a tongue, I will search the depths of your heart, and I will take it to the throne room of God. I will intercede for you. I will pray on your behalf, because he knows best how to pray. When you pray in a tongue, you are praying an unselfish prayer. It is the word of God. And he says, when you pray in a tongue, I will reveal to you who Jesus is. I will reveal to you who you are. Because nothing is available to you until you know who you are. And the Lord says, when you pray in a tongue, this is where permanent change comes from. If you are struggling with sinful habits, addictions, pornography, you know, people think they get the mindset of, okay, I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong. I'm going to stop. I'm just going to psych myself out. And temporarily, they could probably do that, but then they fall back into the sin and wonder why. Because the Holy Spirit works from the inside out to cause permanent change. This is where the call of God comes on your life. He said, I will prepare you and qualify you for your calling. And he says, this is where your boldness and confidence comes from. And I said, oh God, I need that. I need some boldness and confidence. And he says, I'm going to wake up your conscience, your soul, to agree with the Spirit so you can manifest in your body. And he says, not only that, when you pray in tongues, I'm going to purge you. I'm going to uproot anything in you that doesn't belong. Strife, anger, manipulation, lies, incorrect doctrine. I'm going to uproot it because God says, I cannot pour my glory in an unpurged people. I am preparing you for my coming. I am preparing you. Just as Pastor spoke about the 10 virgins. They were 10 Christians. Five of them didn't have the oil. So people say, get ready, get ready. Jesus is coming, get ready, get ready. How are you getting ready? You need to fill yourself with the Word of God. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Because if you don't, many will cry on that day. And will you be ready to get your head taken off? And God said, when you pray in the Spirit, I will develop you. I will develop your love. Because nothing works without love. I will develop your character because God requires holiness. And he says, I'm going to illuminate those hidden areas in your life. You're going to receive power to win the victory, to gain the victory. And as the Lord purges you, you're going to be able to stand in the gap for someone else. And in Jude 20, he says, build yourself up. Pray in the most holy faith. Pray in the Spirit. And I thought to myself, what is holy faith? I mean, faith is a comprehended word. And it's a comprehended word. It's calling those things that are not as though they are. It's calling the results, calling the answer. But I thought, what is holy faith? And it's faith that goes unchallenged by fear, doubt, and unbelief. And he says, I'm going to build your faith up. And praying in tongues is the foundational key to all the other gifts. Because what you believe in is what you will function in. A church that does, the division of churches is tongues. Because where you find tongues, you'll find all the other gifts. Where there isn't tongues, you will not find the other gifts. And the more and more you pray, the more you will execute the position of grace. And he says, as you stay in prayer, your lives in ministry will rise to new levels of anointing. And lastly, he says, this is the place, the spiritual key that will bring you rest and refreshing. Jesus says, take my yoke and learn of me. What was the yoke that he was talking about? Was it drudgery, carrying the gospel on your shoulders? No. He said, take my yoke. My yoke is take the responsibility and learn of me. And so the more and more, the reason why you pray and pray in for months and days is to build yourself up. Because the Holy Spirit wants to bring you to a place of maturity. And when you reach that place, you will authorize a host of angels to take legal action. But at the same time, they will attract powers and principalities that will move in on you with vengeance like a freight train. And it will target your weaknesses and your character flaws to destroy you, to stop you. And so when you come to a place of enduring prayer, the Holy Spirit will activate waves of glory, incredible waves of glory that will flood over your soul in the form of supernatural joy and laughter. These incredible waves will be enjoyed by people who have mastered the art of enduring prayer. And they will be used by God to rescue others in physical disaster and eternal hell. This supernatural joy and laughter will report to the spirit realm that faith has obtained its answer. Something has changed, and something will soon manifest in the natural. It is coming to a place and saying, God, I want what you want more than anything. You know, some people say, what is it with you, Lisa? Does God like you more? Why do you experience this stuff? Why does it work for one person and not the other? And I think and reflect back on Martha and Mary. Martha was busy trying to serve Jesus. At the same time, Jesus was trying to serve her. But Mary did the one thing. And what was that one thing? She received. My question to you tonight is, will you receive the message that you have heard? Because if you receive it, you will do it. And you say, Lisa, is it necessary? You mean to tell me I got to pray in tongues? It is imperative. The world is waiting to see the sons and daughters of God to rise up and conform to the image of Christ. I am ready to see signs and wonders and miracles returned. And to God be the glory forever and ever. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I'm good. Hallelujah. Woo! I told you had a special treat there. She needs some boldness. Hallelujah, she got it. And we're going to be wrapping it up here. I know it's already 12 after 8. There was just two quick things that I wanted to cover. And one is discipleship. We've come full circle. We have spiritual maturity. We need to start being disciples. It's imperative that we disciple. We disciple our youth.
We disciple people in our church that are new beginning believers. I know there's a bunch of apostles in here, pastors, preachers, and teachers, and those gifts need to start being utilized within this congregation, across the generations, so that we can have a powerful, united force against Satan. Okay? And then I just want to read something. My son gave me this. He was with his grandma, and he clipped this out. And it's by an unnamed author, and it says, "Walk a little plainer, Daddy." "Walk a little plainer, Daddy," said a little boy so frail. "I'm following in your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain, and sometimes they are hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I am tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you." We are called to be disciples. We are. We weren't given knowledge to keep it to ourselves. We were given knowledge so that we could spread the love of Jesus to everyone. So I want to get back to one last thing. One last little thing. We know we have to have some renewed thinking around here, right? Oh, can I just put this right here? But I know what's happening. Is the cup half full or is it half empty? Well, I've decided that I'm going to have the spiritual mindset. Because I want to tell you, that's what my word tells me. You anoint my head with oil, my brimming cup runs over. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we've run late. We're going to close. But I'd encourage you right now, if you have any lack in your life right now, currently, that before you go through those doors, you come to this altar. If we could have Pastor Tossie, the elders come forward. And I'm serious. I'm exhorting you. I'm begging you to come forward. Don't leave today with a lack still in your life. Get prayed up. Build your spiritual faith. And if that's the youth, if you don't know Jesus, come forward. Because this is the time. Times are short. It's time to move. We are called to move. We just thank you. If you could just go ahead and play, Trace. We just love you, Lord. We give it all unto you, Father. For you are awesome, Lord. You've provided us so many things. And if there's anybody here that wants to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, please come forward. We just thank you. We thank you for your faith. We thank you, Lord. Just bring them forth, Father. They'll have no lack in their lives any longer. They'll have financial prosperity. They'll have healing. No part of their bodies will be in pain. They will no longer have turmoil or strife, Lord. You'll give them right relationships. Just thank you, Lord. Love everyone, live right, pray hard. Don't pick and choose, just love everyone. Thank you so much.